Thank you, worship team. Well, it's a joy to be in God's house today. Now, I told you last week that I was going to give some money. You remember? So we purchased this house next door. We owe less than $90,000 on it. Praise the Lord. That's after like a year. So we only owe about $90,000. And so I want us to raise about $20,000 this year. Okay? And so what I've done, I want to go ahead and give mine. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be preaching on good stewards today. And I have some $100 bills, $50 bills, $20 bills, and I want to give it to you so that you can invest it toward the house. However you want to do that, so I give it to you, but it's not yours. It's not even mine. It's the Lord's. Okay? And so, I particularly would like to give it to some of the younger people, like the youth ages, and let their parents help them with this. So, parents, are you okay with that? All right. So, Josiah, would you be willing to do that? Now, don't get too enthused. Different denominations of cash in here. Samuel and Nicholas, be willing to do that? All right, would you come up and get this, please? Jaden, would you be willing to do this? Okay. So here's what's going to happen. So May the 31st is a fifth Sunday. And you're going to come back on May the 31st and we're going to do an accounting to see how you did. All right? I want to tell you the end of the story, but I better wait till the end of the story before I get there. Okay? So on May the 31st, we're going to do an accounting to find out what you've done with the resources that the Lord has placed in your hands. All right? No pressure. Noah, you and Micah, Isaiah, be willing to do that? Okay. Come on up. All right. So I'm going to give you that one. 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 I've got five envelopes left. I don't know where all our young people are. Sam, I gave Sam and Nicholas one. Do any of you adults want to invest this money for the house next door? You do, Sandy? Okay, come over here. All right. So I'm going to give that to you. Okay, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you two. I'm expecting a lot from you. Someone else? Okay. I'll give you one. I'll give you one. So some have 20, some have 50s, and some have hundreds. Okay? Now, this is not your money. Just wanted to remind you of that. I got one more envelope. If you want it, you can talk to me after church about that. All right. So, we're looking at, this year, we're looking at the parables of Jesus. Because oftentimes we see things from our point of view, we see life from our point of view, but what we need to do is see life from heaven's point of view. Because sometimes we get mixed up in the way we think about things. And so Jesus knew that, and so oftentimes he shares with us parables so that we can get our minds in a correct way of thinking. So this last week we talked about shine your light. You remember that? This little light of mine, shine all around the world. So here's, before we get started on today's message, I want you to stand and I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Arise, shine, for the light has come." All right?
Arise, shine, for the light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Arise and shine. You may be seated. So Jesus tells a parable. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and let me just let you know, a talent in those days was a monetary, it could have been a bag of silver or something, but it was a monetary, anyway, money. It was money. So, in another, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown, gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for bringing us here today. Lord, I pray you'd open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us. Lord, that we would learn to be good stewards of your resources. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So all those, this passage of Scripture talks about talents and about money. It actually, there's many applications that could be made with this. The first thing I want to, first life lesson as stewards that we need to learn is that God places His resources in your hands. He places His resources in our hands. Now, just think about that a minute. God the Father, the Creator of the universe, gives you His resources. That's pretty astounding just to think of that. That the Creator bestows upon you His resources. This was actually from the beginning of time. You remember a guy named Adam? God placed him in the garden, and in Genesis chapter 2, it says they placed Adam in the garden to tend it and keep it. And so when Adam and Eve was first created and placed in this garden, it was the Lord who gave them the garden to take care of. And the truth is, everything you call your own is actually on loan from God. He's loaned it to you. Did you know you're not going to take it with you? Heard a story of a man who one time, a millionaire, and he said, I want every bit of my money put in the casket with me. Take it with me. He left specific instructions to his son. And so at the funeral, somebody asked the son, did you do what your dad asked? Did you put all of his assets, everything in the casket with him? He said, I did. I wrote a check. Put it in the casket. The Lord has given us resources, but we're not going to be able to take it with us. Just let you kind of think on this a minute. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. So where does wealth and honor come from? Where does power and strength come from? You may have a grand idea about a new invention, and it's going to make you millions of bucks. Guess where that idea came from? The Lord gave you that idea. And I'm glad you're coming to this church. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful. In the New King James Version, it gives you the power to make wealth. That Hebrew word means riches, strength, power, wealth, and might. James 1:17-18. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And I love this portion. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. You and I are the Lord's prized possession, and He has chosen to impart to us His resources. So here's the deal. If God didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. Okay? If he didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have the ability to work, earn wages, invest, be creative, or do anything. If God didn't give it to you, you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't able to be able to do your hobbies. You wouldn't be able to do anything that you enjoy if God did not give that passion and desire to you. John Blanchard said, the fundamental truth in the matter of stewardship is that everything we touch belongs to God. The second life lesson for stewards is this. By the way, who is a steward of God's resource? Do you know what a steward is? Let me try to explain it. Do any of you have investments with someone who is an investor and are investing those funds for you? Okay. If you do, those people are kind of like your stewards. They're taking your money and investing it and trying to make you more money. An investor would kind of be that kind of person. And so when Jesus is talking to his servants and he gave them these talents, he gave them these gifts, he gave them these spiritual gifts and talents that you're born with and you grow with, and he gave you financial resources, that's all involved in this parable. He's allowing us to be stewards of his resources. And so, a steward is one who takes the resources that someone else has given them and utilizes it for the benefit of the person who gave it to them. So, as a steward in God's kingdom, what we're doing, we're taking his resources and utilizing it for the glory of God and to build his kingdom. Okay? We're utilizing every resource that the Lord has placed in your hands and utilizing it for his glory and to build his kingdom. So the second thing that we learn from the lessons of a steward is that we are responsible to the Father for the way we use his resources. Did you know that the Father knows what you're capable of? Did you know he knows what gifts and talents and resources he's put in your hands? And he's put different resources in your hands than he's put in my hands. He's given you different gifts. He's given you different talents. He's given you different financial resources. He's given you a different mindset, a way of doing things that are different than mine. And the Lord gave that to you, which is different than mine. But did you know that I'm not responsible for the way that you use his resources? That's not my responsibility. Whose responsibility is it, do you think, for you to use the resources that the Lord has given you? That's right. I'm not the resource police. That's not what God has called me to do. But the Lord has called me to tell you the truth. And the truth is that you are responsible for using the resources that the Lord has placed in your hands to build the kingdom of God and to bring glory to him. Now, the Father knows what you're capable of. One of the things that was a disadvantage to me a while ago when I was giving out my money, I don't know what the people I gave it to, what they're capable of. We're going to find out on May 31st. That's 5 months. 5 months. And we're going to take an accounting, and then you can decide whether you want to do it another 5 months or say, you know, I'm good. And it'll be great with me either way. So the Lord is not going to ask you to build a house if you've never picked up a hammer. All right? And he's not going to ask you to be the pilot of a ship if you don't know which direction you're supposed to go or if you've never been on a boat. Okay. Here's what I've discovered is that the Lord always prepares us for what He has in store for us. And He's not going to ask you to do something He hasn't already prepared you to do. He knows what we're capable of. He's put those resources in our hands, and when He put those resources in your hands, He knew exactly what you were capable of doing with those resources. The Lord is really doing some wonderful things here. You know, I like Josiah and his cello. Yeah, that was such a wonderful Christmas experience. And Mike and his oboe and the English horn and French, no, the other thing that he played. That was a wonderful experience. And then we got, you know, our worship team is just coming together, just marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, we've got some excellent teachers. The Lord has given many teachers, and they are able to expound the Word of God in a way that's able to understand. It's amazing, the resources. But I tell you what, it would make me sad knowing that some of these people had the resources of the gifts that God has given them and they not use it for His glory. We would miss out. We would miss out if they did not utilize those resources to build the kingdom and to bring glory to the Lord. We get to experience that. We get to look in. And I tell you what, the drama that we did on Christmas, that was off the hook. That was crazy. Wonderful. Yeah, think about it. Tears start coming to my eyes. Even now. It's just wonderful. And God has made those resources available to us. So as I'm preparing this message, I'm thinking, okay, Lord. So the Lord's reminding me of, do you know what my resources are? You. So I have a responsibility to utilize the resources that the Lord has placed in my hands. And I don't know how to do all of that. Please pray for me. And also say, hey, I'll do that. Because I don't know what you're capable of. Right? You're a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. We have so many. Now, a fellow named Moses. You may remember him. So one day he was out in the desert. He was taking care of some sheep. And as he was taking care of these sheep, he noticed a bush was burning over there in the distance. And he said, man, that's weird because it's not burning up. Every fire I've ever seen burn the bush up is not burning up. So he starts going over to the bush and he gets close and he heard a voice from coming out of the bush. And he says, Moses, take your shoes off because where you're standing is holy ground. So he takes his shoes off and he approaches the bush. Lord tells him, Moses, I'm going to use you to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Moses didn't know he had that capability, right? He had no clue he had that capability. And he said, Moses, I'm going to use you to take you lead my people out of Egypt into the promised land. And Moses is kind of like, all I know how to do is take care of sheep. That's all I know how to do. But did you know God used his shepherding to be able to shepherd the children of Israel? That's all I know how to do is take care of sheep. Well, Lord, how do I know that's going to be? He said, what's that in your hand? He said, I got a stick in my hand. Got a stick in my hand. He said, throw it down. I want you to give that stick to me. So Moses threw it down. It became a snake. And you know what Moses did when he became a snake? He took off running. He did just like I do. He took off running. I don't like snakes. I grew up in Mississippi, and the last thing your parents ever tell you before you leave the house is, watch out for snakes. If they know you're going in the woods, look out for snakes. Look out for snakes. You just kind of get, okay, I'm looking out for snakes. It's just kind of grow up with it. Well, Moses must have been taught that same thing. He didn't expect his stick to become a snake. The stick became a snake and he took off running, and God said, Moses, get back here. I want you to pick up that snake by the tail. And I'm thinking, you know, God, you may not live around here. But those things are deadly. But eventually, Moses reached down and he picked up the snake by the tail and it became a stick again. Moses had nothing to give except a stick. That's all he had. So here's what question I have for you. What's in your hand? What's in your hand that the Lord wants you to give to Him? Did you know that a stick in God's hand can become a mighty weapon? It can become a mighty force in the hands of God. And whatever you have and whatever you're holding on to, if you release it to the Lord, there can be a mighty force in His hands. If I were to ask you to write down what you have in your hand, matter of fact, why don't we just pray right now? And I'm going to just ask the Lord to reveal to you just a few things that are up to Bob's already written it down. He's going to need a notebook. I'm going to just ask the Lord to reveal to you a few things that you have in your hand. Okay? Would you be willing to listen? All right. So let's pray. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, it's just a joy to be here. But Lord, just to even think about the things that you've placed in our hands, it's just amazing. And so, Lord, I'm just asking you, each one, you know each one individually, and it's amazing to me that you can hear all of our prayers at the same time, and you can answer each one of us individually. Now, Lord, I don't know what each one has in their hand, but you do. And so, Father, there may be some specific things that you want to share with them that they have in their hand that you want to use for their glory. And so, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom's sake. And so, Lord, would you just right now reveal to each one of us things that you want to use to build your kingdom, to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name. Did anything come to mind? Anyone, would you raise your hand if something came to mind? Okay, several of you. Several of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All I've got's a stick. All I've got's a stick. That's Moses, all I had. All I got's a stick. God said, I want to use that stick to lead people out of slavery. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what God will use when we put it in His hands? A third lesson we learn of a steward is that God rewards good management of His resources. God rewards good management of His resources. And I need you to understand this. That the reward is the same for each steward for their faithfulness regardless of their capabilities. If they're faithful with what they have, they get the same reward. For instance, how many of you think Billy Graham's going to have some great rewards? He had some tremendous capabilities. God used him in a marvelous way. Did you know that if I'm as faithful with what the Lord has given me as Billy Graham was faithful what was given him, that I will get the same rewards as Billy Graham? Did you know that? And you may say, man, I don't have nothing but a stick. But you know what? If you use that stick for God's glory, build His kingdom, you'll get the same rewards as Billy Graham. That's what this parable teaches. So there was a guy who came in and he said was given five talents, five bags of silver. And he said, man, Lord, I've used these five bags of silver and I've gained five more. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He said that to the one with the five talents. He also said it to the one with the two talents. Same guy, same thing. Is that verse 21 and verse 23 reads the same way. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So here are a few. Here are a few of the rewards we will get. The first one is we get praise from the Father. We get praise from the Father. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that well done? You good and faithful servant. And I remember I was either a young adult, maybe even an older teenager. So my dad was a preacher. He had some preacher friends. And I remember one day, one of his preacher friends was visiting, and I usually didn't listen in to their conversations. But I was just walking through the room as they were talking. One preacher said to my dad, Smitty, that's what they call my dad, Smitty. He said, Smitty, I know when I die, I'll go to heaven. But I don't know if I will hear the words, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words. I know I'm going to hear, enter thou in. I know that because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and He's the one who died on the cross for me, and I've given Him my life. But I want to hear those words. Thou good and faithful servant. I don't think everybody's going to hear that. I want you to hear it. I want me to hear it. And the only way we're going to hear it is if we're faithful with the resources that the Lord has given us. That's the only way that we're going to hear it. So we get praise from the Father. The second thing we get is greater responsibility in the kingdom. You say, man, I don't like that. But I tell you what, when you begin touching the hearts and lives of people, you want to touch more hearts and lives. And you want to do more for the kingdom of God because the Lord is being glorified and because His kingdom is being built. And you just want to do more and more. And so one of the rewards is that God says, listen, you've been faithful over little things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. I'm going to give you more, and I'm going to give you more, and I'm going to give you more, and I'm going to give you more because you're the one I can trust to build the kingdom, and you're the one I can trust to bring glory to the Lord. Did you know not every Christian does that? Not every Christian does that. He says, I want to, because you're doing what you need to do, I want to empower you to do more. And see, and it's the Lord's power and strength and might working through us. It's not us, but we're just being a vessel for Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Lord, help us be faithful over the little things. Help us be faithful in the little things so that we can be entrusted with more as individuals and as a church. The third thing we find is that another reward is great joy. Great joy. He says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How much joy did you think Jesus had? Look at Hebrews 1:9. You love justice. Now, this is the Father talking to Jesus, His Son. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. How much joy did Jesus have? More than anybody else, more than you, more than me. So if you entered into the joy of the Lord, what kind of joy do you think you would have? You'd have His joy more than anybody else. Woo-hoo! Come on! Bring it on! How many of you would like to have extreme joy? He says, if you are faithful with my resources that I've placed in your hands, then I'm going to pour out on you the joy of the Lord. You're not going to be able to stop it. Enter thou to the joy. Now, I've heard this sermon preached more than once. And many say, well, this has to do with the end times. This has to do when we enter into heaven. Then we can experience the joy of the Lord. And we can experience being rulers over nations. And you know what? I agree with that. But I don't think we have to wait to heaven to get there. Okay? I don't think that's what Jesus was telling His servant. There is a part of that, yes. But we can enter into that now. There's a passage of Scripture that says that the kingdom of heaven is not eat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when do you enter the kingdom of heaven? When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you begin walking in the Spirit. That's, you're beginning to walk in the heavenly experience even then. Isn't that great news? Don't you want great joy? So here's the need. Do you know the most miserable people on the earth are those who are just kind of hoard things for themselves? They are miserable folk. The last thing that stewards need to understand is that poor stewards forfeit their gifts, their privileges, and rewards, and must pay the penalty. You know, it's fun to preach on the good things of God. But I would be remiss not finishing this parable. So they forfeit their gifts, their privileges, rewards, must pay the penalty. Look again at this passage in Matthew 5. Therefore take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant. In the outer darkness there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Two things I want to say. When you come back on May the 31st, I'm not going to be casting you into outer darkness. But to be true to Scripture, if you just go home and you just put it in a drawer and forget about it, you come back on May 31st, you've not done anything with it, I'm going to take it away from you, and I'm going to give it to somebody who's invested the resources. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trusting you with the resources that I've given you. And the reason you have what you have is because the Lord has entrusted you with the resources that He's given you. Many Christians mistake the grace of God for permission to do whatever they want to do, whatever their fleshly desires entice them to do. And they say, well, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. There's not going to be any consequences. There's not going to be any repercussions. God will forgive me. That's not what Scripture teaches. There's always forgiveness when there's repentance. Okay? Always forgiveness when there's repentance. And just saying, Lord, forgive me, doesn't make it go away. There has to be a repentance that takes place. And basically that means I'm turning around and turning away from that lifestyle. And I'm going toward the Lord. I'm doing what He says. This morning, you've learned that everything belongs to God. And you've learned that He's placed the resources in your hands so that you could use Him, use those to build His kingdom for His glory. You've also learned that there are rewards for faithfulness with these resources. Maybe in the past you have not been faithful with His resources. Maybe in the past you've just been kind of hoarding it for yourself and not utilizing it for His kingdom's sake. If that's been the case, then today the Lord is asking you to repent. He's asking you to be obedient to Him and be a faithful servant. Not an unfaithful servant, but a faithful servant, because He wants to reward you. He doesn't want to take away your gifts, your talents, your financial resources and give to somebody else. That's not His desire. His desire is to bless you. His desire is to reward you. You know, I hear preachers on TV that talk about the blessings of God. You just want to come down and you just absorb them. And God's, and He does. However, we have responsibility. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a responsibility. With God's resources. How does that make you feel? Man, if you want to be blessed with more, use what you got for His glory. Use what you got to build His kingdom. Oh, I want more, I want more, I want more. So I can have more, do more, be more. That's not the attitude of a servant. It's not the attitude of a steward. Father, I come before You today. But I thank You for Your word, Jesus. If we didn't have this parable, we wouldn't understand this dynamic of being stewards of Your resources. Lord, my desire for myself and for this church is that we would be great stewards of Your resources. Lord, take this stick in our hands. We may think it's nothing but a stick. We may think it's just immaterial, but Lord, You want to use that for Your kingdom's sake. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that You would move upon our hearts, and Lord, that we would be obedient to what You've called us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.